Lord, we want to thank you this morning that the cross was not a defeat. Not for you anyways. We thank you that the cross is victory. We thank you that the resurrection is victory. We thank you, Jesus, that you came as a lamb to be the sacrifice for our sins. We thank you that you are also the lion and the conquering king. And Lord, you've given us a new life, and you've called us to share that with others. So Lord, help us to be faithful in doing so. We worship you this morning. You are so good, and you are so faithful. Lord, I pray now as we look into your word, Holy Spirit, we want to welcome you here. Thank you that you are here to meet with us. I pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts and teach us this morning. Help us to see what you are doing. Help us to hear what you are saying and to respond in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat, and those who are in third grade and under are going to head downstairs. I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to be this morning. I want to start with a Father's Day story of my own. As I think most of you know, we adopted Kaylee from China. A few people asked us that when she was a baby. They would look at Sheila and I, who are obviously not Chinese. They would see Kaylee, who obviously is Chinese, and they would ask the dumbest question imaginable. Oh, is she adopted? Yeah, she's adopted. So we traveled to China. We adopted Kaylee when she was 6 months old. We were there for 2 weeks, and we had a guide with us. His name was Paul, great guy, and he was our tour guide for the entire 2 weeks that we were there, for us, and there were three other couples that went over with us to adopt children. And so he was with us the whole time, but we also had local guides too. We were in Beijing, and then from there we went to Changsha, which is Kaylee's hometown, and then from there we went to Guangzhou. And in each of those locations, each of those cities, we had a local guide as well who knew the local dialect and the local customs and could help us navigate through the area. And through that whole time, we were very thankful that we had a guide with us who knew how to get through the things that we faced, like the challenges. Like, for example, after our group, we got off the airplane in Beijing, and we're in the shuttle bus being taken to our hotels. And about halfway there, we get pulled over. And these very serious looking, like military kitted up police guys, they get on with, you know, they're carrying submachine guns, and they have very serious looks on their face. And there's like four or five of them. They get on the tour bus and they're walking up and down the aisles, like staring us down. And I'll be honest, it freaked us out. It was just a little intimidating. And of course, our tour guide knew what to say and how to, you know, resolve whatever the issue was. We had no idea, but there was a lot of shouting and pointing. And thankfully, obviously, we survived. So that's good. Then about halfway through our time there, I became violently ill. And I was sick for 24 hours, and it was really, really bad. And I had to go to the ER. And to get to the ER, we had to get a taxi. And so I'm in the back seat of this taxi with like that much leg room. So my knees are like up around my ears, and I am sick, and we're being thrown all over the place and taken to this ER. And of course, our guide was there with us, and I ended up getting some medication. Everything worked out fine. But it's things like that, you know, we had to deal with while we were over there. And then knowing, like, when we're going shopping, where are the good places to shop and where are the places to stay away from? And how do you know what a good deal is? How do you know when you're getting ripped off? What about restaurants? Like, where are the safe restaurants to go to, and where are the ones that we should avoid? So we had guides to help us through all of that, who knew the area, who knew the dialect, who knew the customs, and knew where to go. And that was incredibly helpful to us. Sometimes in life, we need a guide, right? Like, just imagine you are, like, if we had been there and all we had was a map and like a tour book, with, you know, here's some Chinese phrases to say when you need to find the bathroom or go to the ER. Like, that wouldn't have been all that helpful, right? But we had somebody who knew how to navigate through all of that, and that was incredibly helpful. So just imagine you're dropped off, like, in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of nowhere, and you're given the choice of a map, a compass, or an experienced personal guide. Most of us are going to go with the experienced personal guide, right? Somebody who can help us find where we need to get to and help us to survive the experience. And we need that in life too. We need a guide to help us get through life and to help us figure things out that we don't have the answers for. We've been talking for the last couple months about the Holy Spirit and his ministries to us. And one of the great things that God has done for us is this. Jesus promised his followers more than just guidance. He promised us a guide, someone who would be with us permanently. who would walk with us through life and help us with the challenges and the obstacles that we face, help us to navigate through the difficulties of life. And one of the areas of life where we need a guide is in prayer. Now, I assume all of us in this room have prayed at some point in our lives. It's always easy to pray, right? Like, it's never difficult, never challenging, never confusing. I'm guessing by the looks on your faces, you realize I'm being sarcastic, right? We've all struggled to pray sometimes. It doesn't always come easy. Sometimes it's a struggle. Like sometimes it's that thing where you sit down and you say, okay, I'm going to pray. And within 30 seconds, your mind is bombarded with all the other things you should be doing right then, right? Your to-do list and the phone calls you need to make and the things, emails you have to respond to. And we get distracted. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Or have you've had that, right? Or how about this? Those times when you spend some time in prayer and you come away just feeling empty. You come away just wondering, okay, did God even hear anything I just said? Like, did anything happen in response to what I just prayed? Sometimes it just feels like our prayers just kind of like dribble over the edge of our mouth and fall to the floor and nothing happens. You ever have that where it just kind of feels like an empty, dry kind of prayer time? Or what about this one? What about those times when we're facing a need and we know we need to pray about that need, but we have no idea how to pray for that need? It's just such a big deal, such a huge situation, and it's so impossible. Or it's just, there's so many things interconnected with it, and it's kind of confusing. It's like, what do we even ask God to do with that? Where do I even start? You felt that tension, right? Those needs that compel us to pray, but we're not even sure where to begin to pray for that need. Well, the good news is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to be our guide when it comes to prayer, to help us with that. So look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, look at what it says here. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Now, this is the Apostle Paul saying this. This is the guy who planted churches and was a missionary and wrote half the New Testament. He's saying, you know, when it comes to prayer, sometimes I experience this weakness and I don't know what to pray for. I'm so glad he said that because it helps me know I'm not the only one. Right? We get that. Prayer can really be a struggle sometimes. We don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know God's will. We don't know how to express what we think or what we feel or what our desires are for that situation. It can be hard to pray. And the good news is God knows this. And that struggle that we face, that challenge we face when it comes to prayer, it doesn't mean anything about immaturity. What it means is that we're human and we struggle. We need help. We need a guide. And when Paul says that he helps us in our weakness, that word weakness means a lack of power or a lack of strength. You felt that, right? In your prayer life? Sometimes we feel powerless in our prayer life. Does that mean you're a terrible person? No. It means we're human, and it means we need the Holy Spirit to help us in our prayer lives. So every time when you're praying and you hit that wall and you feel that weakness come to the surface, you come up against that struggle, it does not mean we just back away from it and we say, well, okay, this prayer thing's not working out for me, so I'm not going to do it. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is this: that's an opportunity for me to step aside and let his power flow through my weakness. Our helplessness is an opportunity for his strength to show up in our lives when we need it. And so Paul tells us this. He says the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads with us, for us believers, in harmony with God's own will. The answer to our prayer problems is the Holy Spirit. He came to be our guide in prayer. I think it's important to point this out because a lot of people don't realize this. God wants you to have an effective prayer life. He wants you to have an effective prayer life. James chapter 5 talks about Elijah the prophet and how he saw God do incredible miracles in response to his prayers and his commands of faith. And it says Elijah was a man just like us. He was no different from any of us. God wants our prayer lives to be effective. I think a lot of times we look at prayer as kind of this wrestling match between us and God. You know, it's kind of me trying to convince God to do what I want him to do. It's me trying to bargain with God and say, okay, God, if you answer this one prayer, I'll never do that again. If you answer this one prayer, I'll go to church every week. I'll be a missionary. I'll read my Bible. I'll do whatever you... If you just answer this one prayer, it's like this bargaining thing we do sometimes with God. Or it's kind of a thing of, you know, God, just look at things from my point of view. If you would just understand where I'm coming from, you would do this thing for me. We see prayer as a wrestling match. That's not what the Bible portrays it as. The Bible portrays it as a partnership. God wants our prayer lives to be effective and powerful. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to empower us to pray effectively. And so Paul says, we don't have to figure out exactly how to pray because the Holy Spirit, he says, helps us in our weakness. That the word helps is also an interesting word. It's made up of two parts. The first part means together with, and the second part means instead of. So the Holy Spirit prays together with us and instead of us. Is that confusing? Together with us and instead of us. Here's what I think he means by that. What he's saying is that the Holy Spirit does the work, but he doesn't want to do it apart from us. We play a role in this. See, when it comes to praying in the Spirit, that requires something of us. It's not this thing where I just step back and I say, okay, I don't need to pray about anything because God's going to take care of it. God, he's going to pray on my behalf, so I do nothing. No, the Holy Spirit does the work, but he doesn't want to do it without our involvement. He wants us to be a part of that. Just like he wants to speak, but he wants to speak through our words. He wants to show love, but he wants to do that through our actions. He wants to meet needs, but he wants to meet those needs through our obedience. And in the same way, he wants prayer to happen, and he wants it to happen through our prayers. The Holy Spirit does things we could never do, but he wants to do those things through us. And that's what spiritual gifts are all about. Spiritual gifts are the Holy Spirit empowering us to do the impossible, empowering us to do things beyond our own ability, but we have to do something with that. We don't just sit back and say, okay, the Holy Spirit gave me a spiritual gift, so have at it. No, we need to be a part of that. We need to walk in obedience and exercise those spiritual gifts. It's kind of like this verse, Ephesians 3:20. Everybody loves this verse. Here's what it says. He says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's a great truth. He says God can do far more than we would ever imagine to ask him to do. But notice these two words here. His power at work where? Within us. He wants to work within us. He wants to work through our lives. In other words, the Christian life isn't just, I don't do anything and I sit back and God does everything. No, he empowers us and he lives that life through us. We are partnering with him to fulfill his purposes. And so Paul says this, the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, in our weakness, in our powerlessness. The Holy Spirit comes to be our guide. He is with us to teach us, to motivate us when we are apathetic, to empower us when we're weak, and to guide us when we are clueless. And so Paul says he prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You ever have a need like that? You just can't even put words to it? Those things that you feel so deeply about, those wounds, that grief, that confusion, that problem, that concern, and it hits you so deeply, and you don't even know what to say. You can't even come up with words to articulate it. So what do we do with that? We step back and say, okay, God, I don't even know what to do with this. Spirit of God, would you lead me here? Would you be my guide? Would you teach me? Would you help me to pray this through? Because I can't do this myself. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside us understands our hearts, understands the heart of God, understands those needs that we cannot begin to articulate, and he expresses them to the Father on our behalf. In prayer that is not limited by our minds, that's not limited by our words, that's not limited by our inability to articulate what's happening inside, he takes those inexpressible, confused, inarticulate cries, and he carries them to the Father. And he prays for us, instead of us, together with us. Someone said it this way, when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit fills in the blanks. That's why in the middle of teaching on the reality of spiritual warfare, in Ephesians 6, Paul reminds us that we are in a battle. And it's a very real battle that has eternal consequences. And we face a very powerful enemy who wants to stop God's work in your life and in my life. And throughout that passage, Paul tells us, he says, listen, God has given you armor and you need to use it. And God has given you weapons and you need to use them. And one of those weapons we often overlook comes after that section, but it's a part of that section. He talks about the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But then we come to verse 18 and he says this, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Paul says, knowing that you are in a battle, knowing that there is warfare happening all around you every single day, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. He is saying, I encourage you, I urge you to pray. Pray persistently and pray in the Spirit. This is a missing piece many times when we talk about spiritual warfare, but praying in the Spirit is absolutely essential for us to live the life God has called us to live and for us to see victory in our lives that Christ has purchased for us. I want to talk about something for a couple minutes because one of the expressions of praying in the Spirit is what is commonly referred to as a prayer language. Sometimes praying in the Spirit means praying in a supernaturally empowered language. Paul talks about this a few different places. One of them is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. And he gives us a couple of lists of those spiritual gifts, and he talks about why they matter, why they're important, how to use them in a way that honors Christ, and some pitfalls to avoid, because if we misuse them, they can be destructive. And as a part of that conversation, he talks about this in chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. He says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, then what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. So Paul makes a distinction here between two different types of prayer, right? He talks about praying in words that I understand and praying in tongues. And he says, when I pray in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't understand those words. So he's talking here about praying in a supernaturally empowered language that we don't understand, but God does. What's the value of that? What's the value of praying in a language that we don't understand, that we don't even know what we're expressing? Well, remember, Paul talked about those things that we don't know how to express. See, when I pray with my understanding, what Paul says here, he says, I'll pray in words I understand also. When we pray with our understanding, we know exactly what we're saying, right? But praying in tongues, we have no idea what we're actually saying because we're not the one controlling it. It comes down to full surrender to the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit expressing his heart through me. Without me interpreting it, without me questioning it, without me inserting my wishes and my desire into it, without me interfering in any way. It is prayer where it doesn't come from my mind. It comes from the Holy Spirit speaking through me, praying through me in a language that I don't understand, but God does. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. But I want to encourage you, if you have a prayer language, use it. And use it often. Because that is an important gift among many other gifts that God has given to the church. And those gifts matter, and they should be used for the glory of Christ. So sometimes praying in the Spirit means praying in a prayer language, but not always. At its core, here's my understanding of what it means to pray in the Spirit. It's prayer that is led by the Spirit. It's not rushed. It's not scripted. It doesn't follow our familiar, predictable, prepackaged patterns of praying. It's prayer that is motivated by Him. It's directed by Him. It's inspired by Him. It is driven by Him. It comes from a heart that is fully surrendered to Him, and it happens when we step back and listen to Him. When we don't just rush in, but we say, Holy Spirit, would you be my guide? Because I don't know how to pray. So I'm just going to take a step back and listen for what you're saying, and I want you to express your heart through my prayer now. So Romans 8 tells us that one of our weaknesses is that we don't know how to pray. But God sent his Holy Spirit to teach us and to be our guide. So understand this. If you're facing a need right now, you're facing a challenge in your life, and you know you need to pray about it, but you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to ask God to do, the good news is this, you're not alone. Because the Holy Spirit wants to guide you in prayer for that need, for that issue, for that problem. Question is, how do we actually do that? How do we pray in the Spirit? If you've never experienced that, what do you do to begin praying in the Spirit? I want to suggest three words as a starting point, just three simple words that I think will help us begin to learn what it means to pray in the Spirit. Here are the three words. Pray, listen, and pray. This week, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever that need is that creates anxiety for you, whatever that problem is that's robbing you of your joy, whatever that issue is that you wish you had the answer for, but you don't. It's that thing that keeps you awake at night, and you're not sure what to do with it. Write that down. And make that your prayer focus this week. And then pray, listen, and pray. Here's what I mean by that. Pray. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to guide me now. I don't know what to say about this. I don't know how to pray for this. Would you show me your will in this? Would you show me what you are saying about this right now? I need you to teach me how to pray for this need. And then listen. Just pause and listen for what he's saying to you. Don't rush this part. It's really important to give him space to speak to you. But listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide you. Allow him to speak to you just in silence, away from the noise and distractions. Listen for what he is saying. And then pray. Whatever he puts on your heart, however he is leading you, whatever it is that he brings to your mind, express that to God in prayer. I think that's a simple way of beginning to learn what it means to pray in the Spirit. Because much of the time, and some of it's because of how frantic we get with the needs and problems. So we say, God, please, you got to fix this. God, why is this happening? Some of it's because our lives are so busy and we're so filled with noise and all this stuff in our lives. And we just kind of rush in and rush out. And I think it's hard for us to tune in to what the Holy Spirit is doing to give him space to be our guide, to teach us and to lead us when we're so busy. But I think if we slow down, and start by saying, Holy Spirit, help me to hear what you're saying. What are you saying about this? And then just pause and listen. And then whatever he brings to your mind, just get it out. Express that to him in prayer. I think that's a good starting point to begin to learn and experience what it means to pray in the Spirit. I encourage you to give that a try this week. So, Father, I want to thank you for the amazing privilege of coming to you with our needs, with our questions, with our struggles, and knowing that it matters to you. Jesus, your disciples asked you, teach us to pray. And we pray that too, teach us to pray. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Thank you that you came to be our guide, that you came to help us in our weakness. And we confess to you, we're weak, we struggle. We understand the value of prayer, but it's hard sometimes. So we just acknowledge we don't have this figured out. We need you. We are desperate for you, Lord, in so many areas of our lives. And your word reminds us that the Holy Spirit is like water, and the Holy Spirit is like air. And just as we are desperate for that next breath of air, just as we are desperate for that next drink of water, God, help us to be just as desperate. Holy Spirit, for your work in our lives, for your filling in our lives. We pray that you will come upon us and that your work and your good purposes will be fulfilled through our lives as we walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen.